Acts chapter 20, look if you would, starting at verse 17. Acts chapter 20, verse 17. Acts chapter 20, verse 17. Look if you would there, and it says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying and weight of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide in me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, It is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him unto the ship." Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you, Lord, for this church. I thank you, Lord, for the people that are here today. I thank you, Lord, for our teachers, Lord, who are laboring, Lord, to teach our young people and the time that they put in, Lord, preparing for that. And Lord, I'm thankful for the young people we have in this church. And Lord, you've blessed us so much, Lord, and we're thankful for that. If it wasn't for your son, Jesus Christ, Lord, there would be no need for us to even be here. And so, Lord, we're thankful for the fact that he died on the cross for our sins, Lord, that he was buried and rose again the third day, that we have the promise of heaven, Lord, if for anybody who would put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone for salvation. And Lord, I'm thankful that as Christians, Lord, we have such a bright future. But Lord, we know that there are a lot of things, Lord, in our lives because of the flesh and because of sin, Lord, where we always come up short in our daily lives, Lord, in living for you. And Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, if there's something we need to get rid of in our lives, Lord, or something we need to correct, Father, I pray that you'll just show us that, Lord, that we may glorify you in our lives. Lord, we just await you to speak to our hearts this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in this passage here, we see that the Apostle Paul is revisiting really the mission field, and he comes to Miletus, and there he gathers with him the Ephesian elders, and he has a time walking with them kind of down memory lane. He basically tells them that the things that he taught them, reminded them of some of the things that he had taught, and he's talking about the things that he had done in the past with them and some of the things that he had talked to them about. And no doubt they talked about the good times that they had together, and how God had blessed and poured out his blessings. And he talked about how he taught them about laboring and how you should support the weak, and how that, you know, he had never coveted any man's gold or silver, But he did it because he knew he was supposed to be preaching the gospel and teaching them the whole counsel of God. And after they talked for a while, the Bible says that then they began to pray together, that Paul kneeled his knee and they began to pray. And as they began to pray, they realized that this really was the last time that they were going to be in the presence of the Apostle Paul, the last time that they would be able to hear his words face to face. And so they began to weep. And the Bible says they wept sore. They began to hug Paul's neck and they kissed his neck. And then after that, then they walked him down to the ship where the ship was, and they watched Paul as he got on that ship and as he began to sail away. And there, as he began to sail away, they were saddened, they were weeping, they were heartbroken, because they knew that Paul was going to be sorely missed. My question for you this morning is, when you are gone one of these days, are you going to be missed? In other words, what I'm asking is this, is your life that you're living, is it making an impact on people? Is it a life that has meaning? Or is it just vanity? You know, there are a lot of people today, when they live their lives, they don't really live for other people. They live for themselves, and then they die. And when they're on their deathbed, when they think about the things they could have done in the past, and they think about what their life really meant to other people, there are some people that, honestly, when they leave, it isn't going to be very many people that even remember them, or let alone remember some of the things that they did. Now, I'm not talking about family. I mean, family's always going to remember, you know, loved ones are going to remember, friends are going to remember, but I'm talking about people in general. People in general. The question is are you going to be missed? Are you living your life in such a way that it's had an impact on people's lives so that when it comes time for you to go, maybe if you move out of Great Falls, or maybe the Lord decides to take you home, are there going to be people that say, I miss having that person around. That person did so much. That person had such an impact. The way he lived, he had such an impact on us and our family or other people. The life that you're living, is it having an impact on other people? In other words, when it comes to measuring you as a Christian, how are you doing in that area? What is the measure of a man? What is the measure of a man? And so this morning when we look at the Apostle Paul, we look at somebody who is greatly missed. I mean, he was just leaving this area. He's going to another area. Eventually he would go and die for the gospel, but he was leaving this area on his way to Jerusalem. And these people knew that they were never going to see him again, and they were so saddened that they began to weep because this wasn't family. This was, I mean, you could say is the family of God, but it wasn't his immediate family here. These are just people that he had trained, people that he had taught the Bible to, people that some of them he probably led to the Lord. And these people are seeing him, and he gets on his ship, and these people are heartbroken because Paul meant so much to him, to these people. How are people going to remember you when you're gone? You know, it's been said that when you go, you're going to leave behind all that you have, and you're going to take with you all that you are. How do you measure a man? Well, when the world measures a man, the world measures a man by how smart he is, or the level of his education, or how rich he is, or some of the things that he did, you know, as far as, you know, who he contributed to, you know, those sorts of things. But how does God measure a man? How does God measure a man? In other words, what really counts in life? What do we do that really counts? How do you measure whether your life you lived is really successful and was really fruitful and was something to be remembered? Well, if you look back in our text here in Acts chapter 20, you're going to find some things about Paul that made his life unforgettable to other people, things that made people miss him once he left. And one of the things that you'll notice about Paul is that when it comes to measuring Paul, what type of man he was, you can measure him by the life that he lived, by the life that he lived. You say, what was Paul's way of life? Well, first of all, it was a life of service. In Acts chapter 20, look if you would at verse 17. It says, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church, and when they were come to him and said unto him, ye know from the first day that I came unto Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the laying away of the Jews. He's saying this. He's saying, from the time that you knew me all the way through here, I have been doing what I do. I've been serving the Lord. That's what I do. And that's what he's saying. He served others. He served the Lord. And when God measures a man's life, he does not measure a man's life by how many servants he has. He measures a man's life by how many men he serves. And notice here that when Paul said that he served the Lord, notice here it says in verse 19, he says, serving the Lord with all humility. So in other words, it wasn't just him serving the Lord, but he was serving the Lord with the right attitude. You know, there are people today that serve the Lord, but they don't have the right attitude. By the way, you know, you can dress up in your best clothes, and you can comb your hair, you know, perfect, and you can put on the stuff that makes you smell good, and you can come and serve the Lord and still have a rotten attitude. Amen? I mean, you can do that. But Paul here, he says, listen, not only do I serve the Lord, but I serve the Lord with humility. You say, well, what is humility? Well, it's not degrading yourself or not putting yourself down. Humility is basically seeing yourself, seeing yourself not compared to others, but compared to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what humility is. Now, listen, folks, anybody can compare you can compare yourselves to anybody else and do pretty good. And to tell you the truth, it's kind of a cheap thing to do when you start comparing yourself to somebody else, because you know what we do, all of us do? When we compare ourselves to somebody else, we always choose somebody that we know isn't where we're at. Right. How come we don't choose somebody that we know that is better than us in a certain area? You know, that's what we always do. But listen, when you compare yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't care who you are, you aren't much compared to him. Amen? Amen? I mean, you're not. That's what serving with humility is. It's having a lowliness of heart. It's not thinking highly of yourself. And Paul, when he served the Lord, he served the Lord with all humility. Not only that, but Paul served the Lord not only with humility, but he also served while enduring heartache. Because he said in verse 19, he says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears. The Apostle Paul was a compassionate man. He knew how to weep. He knew how to enter into the sorrows and hurts of other people. And may I remind you that if you live for yourself and you try to insulate yourself from the cares and the problems of this world, you're not going to be missed very much. Listen, when other people are going through things, other Christians are going through things, you should be there with them. That you should be able to weep with them when they weep and laugh with them when they laugh. That's the way it should be. But a lot of Christians today, they only want to hang around somebody when they're happy. They only want to talk to people when things are going good. But listen, folks, we all go through some tough times in life. And when we go through some tough times in life, it's kind of nice to have somebody around that will weep with you when you go through those tough times, that will laugh with you when you go through the good times. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what Paul did. He said, I serve the Lord. And when he said, I serve the Lord, I serve the Lord with many tears. No doubt that he was heartbroken when he saw some of the things going on that he saw going on. No doubt he had a passion for people, wanted to see people saved. I think about when he was preaching at Mars Hill, and those people were thinking that he was, you know, Jupiter and things like that. I can imagine how much it must have broke his heart, but he continued even when times were tough, even when he knew the Jews hated him and wanted to kill him. You know what Paul did? He just kept on telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And no doubt his heart was broken, because when you read the New Testament, you find out that Paul really did want to reach the Jews as a nation. They were his people. And even though God had called him to preach to the Gentiles, he still had in his heart that he wanted to reach the Jews, but yet the Jews kept on rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ as a nation. And no doubt it broke his heart. But even then, even while he was weeping, he continued on. And the only way that you're ever going to be missed, the only way that you're ever going to have an impact on other people, is when they're going through something, you need to be there for them. You need to be there for them. You need to talk to them. You need to encourage them. When you read here, it says that he did with many tears. You know, you never actually read about Paul actually crying anywhere in Scripture. I believe that when he did cry, I believe he cried in private. But you know, whether he did or didn't, he still shed tears. But you know, Jesus Christ shed tears too. Jesus Christ shed tears over people. Not only that, but if you remember, Jeremiah shed tears. He's known as the weeping prophet. In fact, you have the book of Lamentations. And so we ought to be people of tears as well. The Apostle Paul served the Lord with humility. He served the Lord with heartache. And then we're told that he served knowing the dangers. Look at verse 19. It says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. You know, when you read there in the book of Acts, he goes from place to place. And you're going to find out when you read the book of Acts, as he traveled from place to place, he was not the most popular guy on the block. Amen. I mean, he went to Thessalonica, and the people there tried to kill him, so much so that when he went from there and went to Berea, some of the Thessalonians, who unbelievers, actually followed him to Berea to try to take him out. The Jews lying in wait. In Lystra, he was stoned. But you know what Paul did? He just kept on preaching the gospel, even though he knew the dangers. You know, there are people today that will not go out and witness to somebody because they think that, well, if I get there, somebody's going to say something nasty to me. Paul said, he took ship from place to place. He walked from place to place. He knew the dangers. He knew the Jews were in wait for him, but it did not slow him down at all. He said, listen, I've got to preach the gospel to people. And he did it even knowing the dangers. He served. He served the Lord with all humility. You know, some people, when they see the cost of serving the Lord, sometimes Christians say, you know, I just don't want to do that. I don't want that kind of life. I don't want a life of heartache and hardship that comes with serving people. I don't want to face the dangers of somebody saying something nasty to me or me being persecuted for living a godly life. But I will tell you this, if you want your life to count for something when you're gone, that's the kind of life that you need to live. Unless you're a servant, you're not going to be truly missed by anybody when you're gone. Unless you're willing to serve others with humility and heartache and hardship, you're not going to have the kind of life that Paul had. And that's not going to be a life that counts. Paul said, you know the manner of my life. How do you measure a man? You measure him by the life that he lives. By the life, if he's a servant, did he serve others? Did he serve the Lord? You know, I would like to think that when the Lord decides to take me home, that not just my family, but I would like to think that there are a lot of people that would say, you know, here lies Bob Crowder. One thing you have to say about Bob, he sure served the Lord. Wouldn't that be something? And don't you think this, folks, if you did serve the Lord and you served him with all humility and you served him even with heartache and you served him even knowing the dangers, can you, listen, how many of you can remember, maybe you can or maybe you can't, I know I can, but how many of you remember the day you got saved? And do you remember maybe there was a person who witnessed to you? Maybe there was a person who invited you to church? Maybe there was a person who gave you a tract? And you know, do you remember that person? Would you say that person had an impact on your life? Now, I understand that it's the Lord who gives the increase. I understand that. But the person who watered the seed or planted the seed, when it come to you, would you say that he had an impact on your life? Absolutely. Wouldn't it be nice if you had that sort of impact on other people's lives? To where when you do pass away, there's somebody out there in the world that says, boy, I tell you what, that Bob Crowder, he's the one who led me to the Lord. Wouldn't that be a good thing? You're never going to do that unless you're willing to serve the Lord with humility, unless you're able to serve with tears and able to serve knowing the dangers. You're never going to be able to do that. But you could look at Paul's life. Listen, when he's talking to those Ephesian elders there, like I said, he's probably the one who probably led some of them to the Lord. I mean, he's the one who started the church there. And he had been teaching them the whole counsel of God. And when he gets ready to get on a ship, these people are heartbroken because they say, listen, this is the person who led me to the Lord. This is the person who gave us the gospel. And this is the person who served the Lord with all humility in mind. And I'm sure glad he did it, because if he didn't, I wouldn't be where I am today. Thank God that God sent him here to give the gospel to me. And he had an impact on their lives. Now, it is the Lord who did it all, but he did it through the Apostle Paul. It's God who saves people. I understand that. But listen, as Christians, we ought to be serving the Lord. And the Lord will bless us with that. When you see fruit in the Bible, do you know what it's usually referring to? It's usually referring to other people that you've witnessed to who got saved. That's usually what fruit is referring to in the New Testament. And it wouldn't be nice to have that sort of fruit? when you get to heaven? Wouldn't it be nice to know that when you get to heaven, I don't know if you can look back down here to earth or not when you get to heaven, but wouldn't it be nice if you could to say, hey, you know what? These people actually appreciated me. What is it that measures, how do you measure a man? You do it by the life that he lives. I'll tell you another way that you measure a man, and that is by the message that he preaches. In Acts chapter 20, look if you would at verse 20. Paul says, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what he's saying. He goes, I have taught you. I've taught each one of you. I went house to house and taught you. And I taught you the whole council. I testified both to the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance towards God. That's changing your mind. In other words, rather than trusting in your works and trusting in you and your righteousness to get you to heaven, you have a change of mind and you look to God for salvation. Repent towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he preached. That was his message. That was the content of it. That was a message that Paul was known for. When people thought about Paul, they thought about him preaching that same message over and over. And you see, not only are we remembered by the way we live, but we're also remembered by the things that we say. And we are to leave behind a message. Everybody will be known for something when we're gone. People will think about us. They'll think about the things that we used to say. You know what I want them to think about when it comes to me? I would like them to think about the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, when they remember me after I'm gone, I'd like for them to say, you know, that Bob Crowder, it seemed like all he ever talked about was the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Which, by the way, is the greatest message this world has ever known. Amen? Yeah. Wouldn't it be nice to be remembered for that message? You know, if I think about some of the people that I've known in the past, and you think about some of the people, even those, you know, actors and famous people, when they die, what they're known for. You know, I'm thinking there's probably some sports figures and they've passed on and they're remembered for, you know, the catch that they made on a certain day or remember being a great football player or a great basketball player. Maybe other people were writers of books and they were remembered for the books that they wrote. You know what the Bible calls that? Vanity. Vanity. But I'll tell you something that isn't vanity, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's not vanity. And wouldn't it be nice to be remembered for that message? The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ? That's how Paul was remembered. You know, and that's what Paul thought about him. And even though Paul was threatened, stoned, whipped, Paul continued to preach that message. Paul would have rather died giving that message to the lost than live silently. That's the kind of man that Paul was. Notice in verse 25, it says, and now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Now, when he said, I am pure from the blood of all men, what was he talking about? Well, hold your place here and turn back to the book of Ezekiel. Back to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33. Because when he says, I am pure of the blood of all men, that is a statement that all Christians should take very seriously what he said right there. Because he's referring to a passage in Ezekiel chapter 33. Now, remember this, Ezekiel chapter 33 is Old Testament. But what Paul is teaching here, because right after he said that I am pure of the blood of all men, he says, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And so it's related to preaching the word of God. The being pure of the blood of all men. Now, Ezekiel chapter 33, look if you would at verse 1. It says, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come from the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his own iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman upon the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word of my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, and his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Now, Paul here was referring to this passage when he said that I am pure from the blood of all men. Paul was saying that he was like the watchman upon the wall, and he knew that the judgment of God was coming. And because he knew the judgment of God was coming, he said, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the whole counsel of God. What he's saying is this: I knew that the judgment was coming, and because I knew that, I told you the gospel. I preached the gospel to you. I taught you from house to house. I did these things. And now that I've done that, my hands are clean. I no longer have your blood upon my hands. You say, well, what is that teaching me today then, Pastor? What that means is this. If you read that last passage there in Ezekiel, it says, when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. That's God's judgment. The wages of sin is death. It says, when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked of his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require thine hand. Listen. Everybody in this room, if you're a Christian, you know that the judgment of God is coming, and the wrath of God is upon all unrighteousness. We know that. And we know that the wages of sin is death. We know that. And we also know the way that a person can be saved today, where he does not have to face the wrath of God. We know that. We know the message. It's the same message that Paul preached. And if you're not willing to go out and tell other people about Jesus Christ, do you realize that if there's somebody that you know right now that is not saved, maybe it'll be a family member, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a neighbor across the street, and you know that you should witness that person and you don't do it, and that person dies, you know what that's telling you? His blood is upon your hands. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to lose your salvation, but it means you could have given him the message for him to choose whether to believe Jesus Christ or not. You could have planted the seed. You could have watered the seed, but you didn't do it. And that's on you. That's on you. His salvation is on you, but the responsibility to tell him the gospel is on you. And that's what Paul said. And Paul said, listen, I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. And he says, I am pure from the blood of all men. In other words, he said, everywhere I went, I told people about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something, folks. It would be great if when we're standing up there on the day of Revelation chapter 20, I really believe that we're going to be there ministering to the Lord when there's a great white throne of judgment is going on. I think you read that over in Daniel chapter 7. And when we're ministering to the Lord, wouldn't it be okay that when these people that come up and they're checking to see where that person's name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you know that person. That person's the one who lived across the street from you. That person that is a co-worker that worked with you. Wouldn't it be okay that even if that person's name is not written in the book of life, wouldn't it be okay for him to not be able to look at you and say, how come he didn't say something? I mean, wouldn't we want it that way? I mean, wouldn't you want to be the one that'd say, hey, listen, he looked at me and go, how come he didn't say something? Wouldn't it be nice to be able to say, I did. I told you about the Lord Jesus Christ, and I invited you to come to church, and you wouldn't come. I told you about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I told you that the wages of sin is death, but you wouldn't listen. I'll tell you what, that'd be a whole lot better than the other thing that could happen when they look at you and say, how come he didn't say something, and you got nothing to say because their blood is on your hands. I'll tell you what, folks, we need to take the gospel that we have seriously. Paul did. That was a message. That was the message of his life, was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what he was known for. And because he preached it, and because he told people the whole counsel of God, because he taught them about the gospel and to repent toward God, and he taught those things, then because of that, he was going to be missed. Those people, they were going to miss Paul because of the message that he preached. I'm just going to tell you today, I think that there are a lot of Christians, when we get to heaven, we're going to have some blood upon our hands. Because I think there are a lot of Christians today who don't want to serve the Lord with all humility and through hardships and in the face of danger. There are a lot of Christians today, they say, you know, I'm only going to serve the Lord when the days are bright and clear and the rainbow's out, when things are going well. But that's not the way Paul was. Paul says, I'm going to serve the Lord with all humility. I'm going to serve during heartache. I'm going to serve even though it may be dangerous. And when I'm going to serve the Lord with a message that he's given us, I'm going to go tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder how many people can say that this morning. Paul's life was measured by the message he gave. You measure a man by the life that he lives. You measure a man by the message that he gives. And then finally, you measure a man by what motivates him. You measure a man by what motivates him. Every man has a motivation. Every person has a motivation in life. Every person has something that makes him do what he does. Something that impels him, something that motivates him, something that drives him to do whatever he does. What was it that motivated Paul to serve others? What was it that motivated Paul to preach this gospel to people, even though there was danger, even though there was heartaches? He just kept on preaching. It didn't matter that they were going to stone him. It didn't matter that he had to be lowered over a wall in a basket. It didn't matter, because all he did is hit the ground running, go to the next city and tell them about Jesus Christ, and go to the next city and teach those people, whether it be in the synagogues or whether it be in the marketplace. He was teaching. What was it that motivated him to do all that? What was it that motivated him to serve the Lord with all humility? What was it? Well, look, if you would, in Acts chapter 20, verse 33. It says, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Well, we know right there, when it comes to his motivation, it was not money. Amen? I mean, he wasn't doing it for filthy lucre's sake. He wasn't out there trying to make a buck by teaching people about the Lord. He says, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, watch it, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, you will not read exactly where Jesus spoke those exact words in Scripture. So Jesus must have told Paul that personally. It is more blessed to give than to receive. How many of you know that that's true? Hey, listen, we got Christmas coming up here in a couple months, which I cannot believe that we're that close to Christmas already. But we have Christmas coming up here in a couple months. And we know, we can honestly say, I think anybody, well, maybe some of the little children may not agree with this, but it is more blessed to give than receive. Hey, I like getting Christmas presents at Christmas time. I do. And by the way, keep that in mind for your pastor. Okay, but anyway, I like getting Christmas presents at Christmas. But you know what I enjoy way more than that? It's handing the Christmas present to somebody else and watch them open it. Because when all of a sudden you see their eyes light up because they got something they've been wanting for a long time, tell me that doesn't feel better. Amen? It does. It is more blessed to give than receive. And don't you know that's what motivated Paul to serve the Lord with all humility in mind? Don't you know that that's what motivated Paul, that even though it was dangerous and even though there were many tears shed, he just kept on giving the gospel, the message that meant so much, he just kept on giving it out. Why? Because it's more blessed to give than receive. Paul remembered those words every time that he went out and preached the gospel. Don't you know he remembered those words of Jesus? It's more blessed to give than receive. Don't you know that Paul's, when he served with all humility in mind while enduring those hardships or he continued to preach the message, even though he knew it was dangerous, because of the words of Jesus, it's more blessed to give than to receive. The Apostle Paul was a great man because he spent his life not primarily as a receiver, but as a giver. As a giver. Therefore, his life was blessed. Therefore, people missed him when he left. because he had given him so much. He wasn't a taker, he was a giver. You know, everybody on this planet is either a giver or a taker. Everybody is. But may I tell you this morning, it is more blessed to give than to receive. When you die, you're not going to take anything with you. And if you're going to take anything with you, it's what you've already given away. And what you've spent is gone forever. And what you did not spend is going to be left for other people to spend. So why even save anything up? But what you gave away is yours forever. And it is more blessed to give and receive. Let me tell you why this morning you should be serving the Lord with all humility. It's not to get reward. Now, we know that the Lord is going to bring rewards with him, and we know we're going to be rewarded for it. But you don't do what you do to get reward. That makes you a taker. No, you got to be a giver. If you cared about people, as Christians, we are supposed to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're most supposed to be more, we're destined to be conformed to the image of Christ. We're supposed to be more like Christ every day. And when you look in the Bible, you will not find anybody in Scripture that was more of a giver than Jesus Christ. He gave it all for everybody in this room. Everything. Gave his life for everybody in this room. God manifest in the flesh gave his life for you and me. He was a giver. And if we're like Christ, then we're going to be givers as well. What do we give, Pastor? Well, how about the greatest message this world has ever known? The gospel. Listen, you can come to church and you can hear the pastor preach to you about the cross. And we could say amen, and we should. I mean, it was a great thing that was done for us. I mean, to the thought that we're going to go to heaven today because of the price that Jesus Christ paid for us that we couldn't pay for ourselves. That's a wonderful thing. That has been given to us as a free gift. Now, right there, it's pretty good to get right there. But remember, it says it's more blessed to give than to receive. You've received everlasting life, and that's a great thing. But you know how much better it is for somebody else to receive it as well? You have a gospel that you can give people. And you want to be blessed. You want things to matter to people. You want your life to matter. You say, what is it that measures a man? What is it that motivates you? Why do you do what you do? Do you go out there and witness to people at all? Do you tell people the gospel? Do you serve the Lord with all humility? Maybe you teach a class. Maybe you help out here at the church. Maybe you do this, or maybe you give tracts to people, or maybe you help out somebody. I know there was a couple of ladies there before the COVID came about. They would go down to the mission, and they would help cook down there at the mission, and not just on holidays. It would be other times. We have people that preach down at the mission on Friday nights. We have people that, without COVID, they would go out to the nursing homes and preach there. You know why they do that? Because it's better to give than receive. It's more blessed to give than receive. They've got a message. They preach that message. And listen, folks, you cannot. There is no way in the world that you ever get a bigger blessing than seeing somebody else get saved because of the message you preached. It truly is better to give than receive. It is. That's what motivated Paul. And when Paul was motivated by that, he served with humility. He served in the tough times. He served with tears. He served when people wanted to kill him. He served the Lord. He preached that gospel that meant so much to him. He wouldn't stop. It doesn't matter what people did. He wouldn't stop. Just kept on telling people about the Lord. All because he was motivated by what the Lord said. My question for you tonight or this morning is this. If the Lord were to take you home this morning or this afternoon, or next week, whenever. I understand that family is going to miss you. No doubt about that. But how about everybody else? How about your neighbors? How about your coworkers? You know, the sad thing it is, I think there are some Christians today that when they pass away, their neighbors wouldn't even remember it because they never talked to their neighbors. And maybe there are some people that they work with wouldn't even think twice about it. Oh, yeah, I remember him. He came in late a couple times at work or whatever. But listen, we should be remembered by everybody. Everybody we come in contact with. At the very least, folks, I'm not saying that everybody's going to say, oh, man, you know, I wish he were still here. Listen, you should. If people remember you for the gospel, I don't care if it's a negative or a positive, it's a good thing. I understand that there are going to be people, if you were to pass away today, I understand there are going to be people that will say, you know what, that guy bugged me all the time about coming to church. I'm glad he's gone. Well, I'll tell you what, that's a great testimony. Amen. Amen. But at least they remember you. And for a good thing, they may not think it's a good thing, but it's a good thing. What are you going to be remembered for? Is the life that you're living, is it worth anything? Does it have impact on people? Are people going to miss you? I tell you, folks, I do what I do for the Lord, and I know you do too. But I was sitting there thinking about Paul, and he's getting ready to leave there, and these people saying, man, we're never going to hear his voice again. We're never going to see him again. He did so much to us. The Lord has done so much for us through him. And these people were weeping all the way until he got on that ship and left. I wish people would think like that about me when I left this world. I would like for people to think, you know, Bob Crowder, he preached that gospel. Boy, that gospel seemed to mean a lot to him. He was always talking about the Lord. He was always serving. Man, it's kind of going to be kind of miss seeing him around here. Is that how people are going to feel about you? Is the life you're living making an impact on others? Let's stand.